Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning, the saints gathered here, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn from your word and that you would apply your word to our hearts, Lord, that you would exhort us and encourage us and convict us where those things are needed. And we pray, Lord, that we would listen to your spirit as he uses the word that he's given to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all may be seated. Now this morning, we're going to be speaking about, the next 2 weeks I'll be with you all this week, and the next week we're going to be speaking about the gentleness of Christ. Now, right off the bat, we have to ask ourselves, what does gentleness mean? So when I think of gentleness, I think of my dear friend in Seguin named Mr. Chris. That's what my kids call him, Mr. Chris. So Mr. Chris is like 6'4", and he's like one of those guys that you call a mountain of a man. He's huge. Like, he's this really big, strapping guy. Like, when you shake his hand, your hand gets lost in his hand because he has fingers the size of sausages, and he just has this huge grip. But when he works in IT, and he has to climb into ceilings, and I'm never sure how the ceilings hold him up, but when he gets up there, but when I think of gentleness, I think of him because he's this huge, strapping man. And he's held two of my children when they were babies. And when he holds the children, or when he's held their children, he's so gentle, right? All of that muscle, all of that strength, you know, those huge sausage fingers, they support the baby's neck, they support the baby's body. You know, he looks at them because he loves to hold babies. He's this huge mountain of a man that loves to hold babies. Now, why do I think of gentleness? Well, because the thing is, to be gentle means you have strength. Because literally, Chris could take probably two of his fingers and snap the baby's neck, right? He's that strong. But he doesn't, right? He uses his strength to care for, to help, to hold the baby. And so gentleness is strength under control. Your translation might say meekness instead of gentleness there, but meek, or I'm gentle and lowly. I think King James says meek and lowly. Meekness, gentleness, is strength under control. So it's not being milquetoast. It's not being just, you know, this person that flaps around the wind, just goes whichever way. It's strength under control. And so Christ here, as he's speaking to these people, he says, I am gentle and lowly. And he mentions a group there. He says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, our problem with gentleness is we think that because of the culture that we live in, that if we are, in fact, gentle, we will look weak. That if we're, in fact, if we keep our strength under control, that we will, in fact, look and appear to be weak. But, in fact, Christ is gentle with the heavy laden. Christ is gentle with the heavy laden. Christ is gentle with us, that he treats us with strength under control. Now, in this passage, we have to ask ourselves, with what's gentleness, who are those who are heavy laden? What does he say? Those who labor, right? Those who labor and are heavy laden. Now, when my grandfather was young, this was before there was this thing called a cotton stripper. Okay? And so my grandpa would tell me stories about they had these huge burlap sacks that they would go out and pick cotton in. And he said he only had to do it a few years because eventually his family got enough money from the farm that they were able to buy a cotton stripper. But he had to go out there just by his hand, and he had these huge sacks, and he'd pick cotton and put it in a sack. And then he would, when you were a little kid, you'd be so proud because you'd fill it up, and you'd bring it to your dad and say, look how much cotton I got. And he would take his hand, smash it all down, and say, keep going, kid. And these huge sacks, they would weigh a lot of pounds, nearly like 100 pounds. The kids, by the end, were pretty strong. But that's the picture of labor. They're heavy laden, right? They have something on their back that they're dragging, they're carrying. That's what it means to be heavy laden, right? And the picture is these people that they labor, but they have no rest. And then later on in the passage, he mentions a yoke. Right? A yoke is something you put on an animal to control where it's going. And so those who are heavy laden, it could be those who are heavy laden with sin. That they labor and labor, but they don't have any rest. They try to put on a yoke, but it's not the right yoke. They think, okay, if I get this yoke and put it on me, if I get this yoke of having a good job, having the right career, having the right whatever, then I'll be satisfied. But instead of bringing freedom, that yoke only brings slavery. And so the heavy laden could be those heavy laden with sin. The heavy laden are those who are laden with guilt and with shame. And so for Christians, there are even Christians, right, that we sin, we feel heavy laden with guilt and with shame, even after we've confessed it, even after we've been told we're forgiven. Right, that we confess our sins, but are we really forgiven or not? So some of those who are heavy laden, they're heavy laden with guilt and shame because they're unsure if what they've done could ever be forgiven. And so they try to cover up, they labor to cover up their guilt and their shame by being good, perfect little Christian boys and girls. And if I can look the part, maybe I'll feel like I'm the part. If as long as I can just fake it till I make it, I'll eventually feel better and I won't feel this guilt and shame. So there's those that are heavy laden with sin. There are those who are heavy laden with guilt and shame. There are those who are heavy laden with care. That they forget that there is rest. They forget that God's yoke is not burdensome but easy and light. So they're prayerless because they're afraid to go to God, and so they're afraid to bother Him with their little trivial things because they just keep holding them, keep dragging them. It's like dragging the cotton sack through their life. And so there are many reasons why we might be heavy laden. But the thing is, Christ offers some interest. How does Christ treat the heavy laden? Well, notice there in the beginning, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And notice right before this in the passage that he's just told the people that no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. And then what does he say? Come to me. Come to me. In other words, I'm revealing myself to you, so come to me. So Christ, he's gentle with the heavy laden because he, in fact, commands the heavy laden to come to me. So rather than standing aloof from the heavy laden, he calls out to the heavy laden and says, come. And he invites the heavy laden to his presence. That's one of the things about the Lord's table. When we come together at the Lord's table, we don't have to come, crawling over glass or something to the Lord's table. Because He, in fact, has invited us. He has said, come to me. And this is a real invitation. He's not just saying, okay, yeah, whatever. You said the prayer, so I guess I have to forgive you and stuff. He's saying, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden. And so then he gives a promise. I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Now at the boarding school I work at, or I teach during the week, the residences have a certain lights out time that they're supposed to abide by. That's the theory anyways. Okay? But you're dealing with teenagers, right? So they're trying to push it. Apparently, they weren't getting enough sleep because it was too late, so they moved it up a little bit, right? Because they needed the rest. Now, all the kids disagreed, of course, right? But they actually did. And so those who are heavy laden, right, Christ is gentle with them because he, in fact, gives them this promise that I will give you rest. So it's like telling the person who's carrying the huge cotton sack, I will, in fact, give you rest. We've got this, I will take the bag from you and carry it for you. I'll give you rest. So he doesn't promise self-improvement, right? He doesn't promise some theological discourse. He doesn't promise smiting the person's enemies, right? He says, instead, I promise you rest. I will give you rest. And Christ describes himself using the phrase gentle and lowly in heart. Have you ever seen the pictures of, a depiction of Christ where he always just looks a wee bit disappointed in you? He's looking at you, in the picture, and he just always looks a little disappointed. Like, you know, you brought home a B. You're supposed to bring home an A. Okay? But instead, he describes himself here as gentle and lowly in heart. So he's not stern, looking down his nose at you, wondering why you can't measure up. He's not aloof. He's not uncaring. He's not unconcerned about your troubles, whether they be big or small. He is gentle. He has strength under control. Christ has the entire universe under his command, strength upon strength, power upon power, yet he cares for you and even the problems that you might think are small and ain't significant or trivial. He cares for us and he uses his strength to help us. Christ is described as lowly. He describes himself as lowly. The king of the universe, the triumphant king, describes himself as lowly. Because our incarnate Lord, he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. He understands what it means to be human. He wasn't play acting when he became man. He truly became man. This is why the virgin birth is so important. Because Christ truly became man. So he truly can sympathize with us in our weaknesses, just like it says in Hebrews. That he became human. And so Christ, he gives us this invitation to come to himself. He has given this promise of rest. He's told us who he is. So then how then does he deal with people? How does his gentleness come out? Think about the passage in John where he deals with a woman caught in adultery. And they bring him before him that they're trying to set this trap for Jesus to get him, you know, caught up and tripped up. You know, and Jesus instead writes on the ground, you know, says, the first one among you who hasn't sinned, you know, throw the first stone. So then the older men go away first, then the younger men. His older men knew, I'm really without sin, but the younger men, they had to debate in their mind for a moment. And then they all go away. Now he wasn't condoning her sin. Obviously, she'd been committed adultery. They were setting him up. And he says to her, go and sin no more. So it's not like he says, okay, it's all right. You know, they were trying to set you up, you know, they were trying to set me up. No, he says, go and sin no more. So the implication is, she was sinning. Repent. Don't sin anymore. He was gentle, right? He had the strength to condemn her to the fires of hell in that moment. Instead, he gently rebuked her and called her to repentance. How did he deal with Peter after Peter's betrayal? He didn't stand aloof. Like, I don't know if I want to talk to this Peter guy. Know what he did the last time. Instead, what do? They eat a meal together. And as they're eating, Jesus commands them three times to feed his sheep. In other words, to be a leader, to have authority in the church after his ascension. He forgave Peter and gave Peter rest. Now, Christ, he deals with folks a lot differently than I think naturally we would like to deal with folks. Especially the way our culture, right? That our culture likes to pretend it's gentle. But it's not. Right, you do something wrong, right? You say something wrong on the internet, right? Someone will take a screenshot of it and then excoriate you for the rest of your life. say something bad at work, you know, say something that someone didn't like at work, and what do? They keep it in their back pocket until the moment, the most inconvenient moment for you, they use it against you. They're friends that you believe something, they disagree with them somehow, and then they all of a sudden no longer your friend anymore. And so our culture likes to think it's gentle just because we're not executing people or something. But in many ways, it's cruel and harsh. It's not gentle. There's not strength under control. Everyone's using their strength to try to step on someone else to get ahead a little bit. But Christ, even in these moments in which he caught or these people sinned and they did things they ought not to have done, he is gentle with them. But he's not gentle with those who have rejected him, like Pharisees. But even then, he gives them opportunity to repent. Now, as we go about our life, we come across folks who are heavy laden all the time. You know, there's super high rates of depression now. There's amongst men, I've heard, like, I can't remember what the stats are, but the deaths of despair, in other words, deaths where people just either give up on life or just feel that life's not worth living anymore, so suicide or drug overdose or drinking someone's self to death, especially among men, are super high right now. And so we can't look at the culture and think that people are not heavy laden when they in fact are. So think about some folks that you might meet that seem heavy laden. Have you ever met a heavy laden parent? So a heavy laden parent, right, they care intensely about their children's well-being, whether this person be a Christian or secular. They want to feed their children nourishing food. They want their child to have a good education. They want their children to be excellent at something like sports or music or school. But the thing they find is that these expectations on parents are always changing. It's no longer good enough to just feed your child organic food, right? You have to now buy local, farm fresh, you know, stuff was killed yesterday in order to be a good person sort of stuff. Now that means good being a good parent. If you're just organic, right? That's not good enough. Now it has to be farm fresh. It's no longer enough to want your child to have a good education, right? You have to send them to some high-powered school, right, where they're going to get all this stuff. It's no longer enough to have a child who, you know, does all right at basketball or is a fair piano player or does pretty well in school, right? They have to be the best, right? Otherwise, it's reflecting badly on you as a parent. So if your child isn't going to become a multi-million dollar lawyer or something, did you even really parent them? Did you care about them at all? And so these parents walk around that they're going to have to send their kids to more sports camps, or have to get them to be the best, or they have to put them now in summer leagues, and they have to give them private coaches, or they have to give them private tutors, or whatever it might be. And so these parents, they're walking around heavy laden. Maybe you feel some of that. And you tell someone, you know, you're meeting someone, and you talk about your children. They're like, well, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done the other? And you're like, I didn't know those things existed. I didn't know how grateful I would be not to be on, you know, the mom side of Facebook, right? Because it's especially bad there, right? Because there's just all these articles like, if you're not doing this, if you're not doing that, if you live this close to power lines, your kids. But they're heavy laden. So then how does Christ deal with this heavy laden parent? He calls them to come to him. He says, take off the expectations of this culture and put on my yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So he says, take off the expectations of this culture and put on the yoke which is easy and light. He says, and the way that you put it on is my spirit will put it on you. So Christ is gentle with this heavy laden parent because he reminds them that he is gentle and lowly. He's not going to chastise them if they didn't eat farm fresh, locally grown food, whatever. He's not going to chastise them if the children don't become some multimillionaire. This heavy laden parent is given rest from the expectations of this world and this culture. So now if you're one of these heavy laden parents, or maybe you know one of these heavy laden parents, how should you be gentle with them? How ought you to be gentle with yourself if you are that heavy laden parent? Or how ought you to be gentle with that parent that you do know that's heavy laden? We ought to be continually pointing them to Christ, to reminding them that time and time again, Christ says, come to me. Come to me. Because really, they don't need our best ideas of parenting. Especially if they're just something that doesn't come from Scripture. What they need is people pointing them continually to Christ. And when parents, these heavy-laden parents, feel like failures continually because they aren't matching expectations X, Y, and Z, they can see if those expectations are from Christ or not. And they can hear Christ say to them, I forgive you for where you failed. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. Christ is what they need, not just another lecture from someone else. We ought to point these parents to the rest offered by Christ. Christ is not offering them another 10-step program to have, you know, there's these seminars back in, I don't know, back 15 years ago, right? Have a new kid by Monday or something like that. Right? It was like this week-long or weekend-long seminar or something. Like, have a new kid by Monday. I don't know if those seminars worked or not. We never went to one. We didn't have any kids yet. Okay. But the thing is, he's not offering them another 10 steps, right? Because the thing is, what if you didn't have a new kid by Monday? There's just another piece of burden in the pack upon your back. We ought to, in fact, point to the rest offered by Christ. That, in fact, we can trust Christ. That Christ has given us precious promises. And as we obey and trust and believe those promises, He will, in fact, be faithful to those promises. Because Christ, in fact, is offering Himself and His grace to us. And that means rest. That we ought to point these heavy-laden parents to the gentleness of Christ. And that gentleness is pictured for us week in, week out at the Lord's table. That Christ, in fact, meets us as we come to Him and hear His Word preached, and as we come to the table and we eat and we drink. He meets us. And He strengthens us. He gives us the strength that we need. And not some sort of hokey voodoo sort of way. But as His Spirit gives us grace, that He gives us grace that we might change and we might, where we have failed, that He gives us the grace and the strength to now obey. That where we have had wrong expectations, that He gives us strength and grace and changes those expectations. So we ought to point those heavy-laden parents to Christ. Now, what's another person that's heavy laden? How about a weak, immature Christian? Weak, immature Christian. Now, the thing about weak, immature Christians is they're very frustrating people. Right? If you've ever dealt with one. Because they might have been in church like 20 years that they're still doing all sorts of foolish things that are against Scripture. They frustrate us because they claim the name of Christ, yet they don't live in the ways according to Scripture. And so they carry around all these burdens. They carry around all these things that they ought not to be carrying around because they are not living in according to Scripture. So how then does Christ deal with how is Christ gentle with the weak, immature Christian? Notice there in the text what it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. An animal doesn't just naturally want to have a yoke on it. or like a horse. You know, a horse doesn't naturally want to have a saddle on it. Your dog doesn't naturally want to have a leash on it. But Christ here uses this picture that he takes his yoke and he puts it on them and he teaches them one step at a time. Just like an ox or cow would have to learn how to wear a yoke, learn what it feels like. Christ puts his yoke on them. He teaches them one step at a time. And he continually calls these weak, immature Christians back to himself. Over and over again, they mess up, but Christ continues to call and say, "Come to me. Come to me." So the weak, immature Christian, they're hard to deal with because our natural reaction is to, you know, just want to wring them by their neck. In the love of Christ, of course, right? Okay. But instead, maybe we ought to patiently teach them one step at a time. Disciple them one step at a time. And realize that sometimes, and this is the issue with relationships, right? It's two steps forward, one step back. But it's easy to give up, and just as Christ continues to call them, we must continue to call them. And we have to be lowly like Christ. Remember that we too began in Christ somewhere. Now we too, that we don't know all the details of their past, and they might actually have grown a whole lot from where they were. And we're just the Lord's using us as an instrument along the way. Now another person that we think about with heavy laden, if we think about those who are heavy laden, or perhaps some children. Some children. I've known kids, you know, I've taught lots of kids over the years, and there's some kids that their parents never have to tell them anything about their grades because they've already have the grades burden on their back. They just, "I made a 99, Mr. Schaub, can I bring it up?" "What do you mean? 99? Be satisfied. You're all right." They're like, "No, I have to get 100, preferably 105 with some bonus points." But there are some kids that they just take everything on the chin. No matter what's said to them, they just take it on the chin. And so we have to deal with them as Christ deals with them, that Christ has given them precious promises, that Christ calls as... Christ doesn't deal with our children differently than the way he deals with us. And so as he's given us grace, or that he deals with us when we sin and go against him, that he then calls us back to himself and he forgives us, and then he doesn't keep bringing it up every 5 minutes. We, in fact, have to do that for our children. As we forgive them, as we are, that we have strength over them, that we say to them, "Jump," and they're supposed to jump. We say to them, "Do this," and they're supposed to do it. And sometimes we can use that strength, that authority that we have rightly over them to browbeat them, to make them feel bad for no other reason than they embarrassed us at the store or at church, or that they didn't obey quite like how you thought they ought to obey, even though they did obey. That children can become heavy laden with these expectations, whether from internally or externally. And we have to be gentle with them. We have to be making sure that the expectations we're placing on them are expectations which God has given to us through Scripture. Now, every child ought to obey, but not every child is going to make all A's. Not every child is going to be the excellent musician. So we have to use what God, we have to play the hand that God has dealt us with our children. And that means being gentle with them as they need it. That means forgiving when they have messed up. Because, you know, we're very good at telling our children to forgive, but sometimes we remember, we know what you did 2 weeks ago, I remember. And it's still floating around in our brain. We ought to have that strength under control and forgive. So we ought to give our children grace when possible, because Christ gives us grace. That we need to remember that we were all once difficult children for our Father, that we rebelled against Him. And the only reason we've changed is because the Spirit's at work in us. And so being gentle with your child in the sense of using your strength for their good is not weakness. I've known parents that, you know, unless you beat your children every day, right, you're being weak. You gotta show them who's boss. That's not true. But you can ask them when you've sinned against them to forgive you. That shows gentleness. But you deal with them as they ought to be dealt with. So if you have a C student, be proud of every C that they bring home. Right, if you're homeschooled, I don't know how you would describe that. Right, but every C that they have at home, right? If they're a C sort of student. If they're working hard, but they're still, you know, they're playing on that violin and it sounds like some cats are being strangled. But they're working hard at it. Help them. Be gentle. Because Christ has, in fact, been gentle with us. And that's the great promise. This is one of the reasons why, you know, this is one of my favorite passages, right? Because it's a reminder of the fact that we, in fact, must come to Christ and that He gives us rest. And that as we put on the yoke that He has given to us, He is gentle to us. Because at the end He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's kind of, seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? How could a yoke be easy and a burden light? Because it's one Christ gives to us. And He, in our own strength, we could not hold it up, but He has given us His Spirit so that we might live in that yoke. And it might be easy and light for us. So as Christ is gentle with the heavy laden, we ought to be gentle as well. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for today. We thank You, Lord, for this church. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to where we deal with heavy-laden folks, or where we are heavy-laden ourselves, Lord, that You would help us to deal as Christ deals with them and to deal in gentleness. Lord God, we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.